Hello everyone, and welcome back to the sixth episode of GenSTEM. As usual, I'm your host, Neha, and I'm so excited to be back and discussing a new topic with you all. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, or if you aren't very familiar with GenSTEM, GenSTEM is a podcast that discusses all the current events and new discoveries happening in the STEM field. I would also recommend watching our trailer to learn more about our podcast and its goals. But do that after listening to this episode, of course. So in this episode, we'll talk about what exactly natural selection is and how it came to be. Throughout the episode, I'll also provide many examples to help you get a better understanding of natural selection. In a simple definition, natural selection is a process that favors heritable traits that increase the survival chances of an organism, which in turn allows the organism to reproduce more. Let me start off with a real-life example to help you get a better understanding of it. You may have heard about antibiotic resistance. If not, that's okay because I'll explain what it is exactly. So when you have a bacterial infection, it is commonly treated with antibiotics, right? However, if it is overused or misused, some bacteria will become resistant to some of these treatments. So that's basically what antibiotic resistance is. So antibiotic resistance is dangerous for humans because treatments that are used to cure potentially fatal diseases are now less effective in some cases, or maybe not effective at all. So how does this relate back to natural selection? How exactly does antibiotics become less effective? When you have an infection, the multiplying pathogen bacteria inside of you are not all identical. Most of them are the same, but every now and then, some of them will be slightly different genetically. If they're all genetically identical, they would react to the environment the same way and they all would be harmed by the same things. One harmful thing could wipe out the entire species. But when there are slight genetic differences, harmful conditions like the presence of an antibiotic might kill most of the bacteria, but some of them might be able to survive and then thrive again. These characteristics are favored in this environment so these bacteria can continue to thrive and make you ill. Different environments favor different traits, and so natural selection has taken place. So hopefully that example helped you get a better grasp of what natural selection is. Today, the theory of natural selection is widely accepted, but this was not always the case. Natural selection was first put forth by a book called On the Origin of Species, written by Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin was a British naturalist, and his ideas were largely based on direct observations from his travels around the world. From 1831 to 1836, Darwin was part of an expedition carried out by a ship called HMS Beagle, which included stops in South America, Australia, and the southern tip of Africa. At each of the expedition stops, he had the opportunity to study and catalog the local plants and animals. Over the course of his travels, Darwin began to see intriguing patterns in the distribution and features of organisms. He noticed some of the most important patterns in the Galapagos Islands, which is a chain of islands off the coast of Ecuador. Darwin found that nearby islands in the Galapagos had similar but non-identical species of finches living on them. Moreover, he noted that each finch species was well-suited for its environment and role. For instance, species that ate large seeds tended to have large, tough beaks, and while the ones that ate insects had thin and sharp beaks. Finally, he observed that finches and other animals found on the Galapagos Islands were similar to species on the nearby main island of Ecuador, but different from those found anywhere else in the world. Darwin didn't figure out all this information out on his trip. He didn't even figure out that all the finches were related but distant species until he showed his specimens to a skilled biologist years later. But however, he did come up with an idea that could explain the pattern of related but different finches. According to Darwin's idea, this pattern would make sense if the Galapagos Islands had long ago been populated by birds from the neighboring main island. On each island, the finches might have gradually adapted to local conditions, of course over many generations and long periods of time. This process could have led to a formation of one or more distinct species on each island. This idea was correct. Why was it correct? What mechanism could have explained how each finch population had acquired adaptations or features that made it well suited to its surrounding environment? During his voyage and in years afterwards, Darwin developed and refined a set of ideas that could explain the patterns he had observed during his voyage. In his book, Darwin outlined his two key ideas, evolution and natural selection. Darwin proposed that species can change over time, that new species come from pre-existing species, and that all species share a common ancestor. In this model, Each species has its own unique set of genetic differences from the common ancestor, which have been gathered slowly over long periods of time. Darwin referred to this process in which groups of organisms change their genetic traits over generations as a descent with modification, but today we call this evolution. But the most important thing to note is that Darwin just didn't say the organisms evolved. If this had been the beginning and the end of his theory, he wouldn't have been in so many textbooks as he is today. Instead, Darwin also proposed a mechanism for evolution, natural selection. This mechanism was elegant and logical, and it explained how populations could evolve in such a way that they become better suited to their surrounding environments over time. Darwin's concept of natural selection was based on several key observations. First of all, traits are often heritable. In living organisms, many characteristics are inherited or passed from parent to offspring. He didn't know that traits were inherited via genes, but he did know that this was the case. Second of all, more offsprings are produced than can survive. Organisms are capable of producing more offsprings than the environment can support. There is a competition for limited resources in each generation. Lastly, offsprings vary in their heritable traits. The offspring in any generation will be slightly different from another one in their traits. Examples are color, size, and shape, and many of these features will be heritable. Based on these simple observations, Darwin concluded the following. Number 1. In a population, some organisms will have inherited traits that will help them survive and reproduce, given the condition of the environment, such as the predators and food sources present. The organisms with the helpful traits will leave more offsprings in the next generation than others, since the traits make them more effective at surviving and reproducing. Number 2. Because the helpful traits are heritable, and because organisms with these traits will leave more offsprings, the traits will tend to become more common in the next generation. Number 3. Over generations, the population will become more adapted to its environment, as organisms with helpful traits in the environment will have more reproductive success than others. Darwin's model of evolution by natural selection allowed him to explain the patterns he had seen during his travels. For instance, if the Galapagos fringe species shared a common ancestor, it made sense that it would broadly resemble each other. If groups of finches had been isolated on separate islands for many generations, each group would have been exposed to different environments in which different heritable traits might have been favored, such as different sizes and shapes of beaks, for using different food resources. These factors would have led to the formation of distinct species on each island. Here is another really common example of natural selection. Let's consider a simplified hypothetical example. In this example, a group of mice with heritable variation in fur color, black versus tan, had just moved to a new area where rocks are black. This environment features hawks, which like to eat mice and can see the tan ones more easily than the black ones against the black rock. Because the hawks can see and catch the tan mice really easily, a relatively large fraction of the tan mice are eaten, while a much smaller fraction of the black mice are eaten. If you look at the ratio of black mice to tan mice in the surviving group, it will be much higher than in the starting population. Fur color is a heritable trait, one that is passed down from a parent to a child. So the increased fraction of black mice in the surviving group means the increased fraction of black mice baby mice in the next generation. After several generations of selections, the population might be almost entirely of black mice. This changes the heritable features of the population is an example of evolution and natural selection. Before we start to wrap up, I want to discuss two common mistakes people have when it comes to natural selection. First of all, evolution is not the same as adaptation or natural selection. Natural selection is a mechanism, or a cause of evolution. Adaptations are physical or behavioral traits that make an organism better suited for its environment. The second most common mistake is that people think that natural selection favors traits that are somehow inherently superior. But that's not true at all. Natural selection depends on the environment. Instead, it favors traits that are beneficial in a specific environment. So like we discussed before, traits that are helpful in one environment might actually be harmful in another. Well, that's all for today, and I'm going to start wrapping up this episode now. I'm hopeful that you learned about natural selection and the history behind it. If you liked this week's episode, please subscribe to my podcast and stay in tune for the next episode. While you're waiting, you can also check out our blog at genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. G-E-N-S-T-E-M. wixsite.com/genstem And if you didn't watch our previous episodes, feel free to go check them out also. In the first episode, we talked about tips for landing remote internships and how to ace your next virtual interview. In the second episode, we talked about steps for vaccine development. And in the third episode, we talked about what dark matter and dark energy exactly are. In the fourth episode, we talked about the impact of environmental issues on human health. And finally, in the fifth episode, we talked about the good and bad about CRISPR. And if you have any topics that you want to be discussed on GenSTEM or you have any questions about the podcast, please feel free to email me at genstemblog@gmail.com. GenstemBlog@gmail.com. I'm open to any new ideas and I'll try to respond to them as soon as possible. I also started an Instagram account for GenSTEM just recently, so I would appreciate it if you would support us over there too. I will post all the updates there so you can be up to date and well informed on what's going on at GenSTEM. I look forward to talking to you all again next week. And as usual, in the meantime, keep learning and stay curious.